Okay, today is September 15th. This is Janine Spurgeon, and I'm sitting here with Jessica Elston, who is the financial manager at Plainfield Library. She's also a resident of Plainfield, a mother of teenagers, and a school board member. So we're going to get her perspective about the COVID-19 pandemic here in 2020. Jessica, welcome.
Thank you.
Hello. Let's just go ahead and start. When you first learned about the virus, what were your thoughts? What did you think was going to happen?
When I first heard about it, I guess across the ocean, I paid attention and listened to a degree. And then, of course, once things started becoming more widespread, you know, you realize that it's something that could definitely impact us in ways that maybe we hadn't anticipated. I think there's some things that, you know, you can control and some things you can't. So you just control the things you can and know that the things that you can't, you just do what you can to make a difference in your house or your area. But sometimes there's nothing you can do when it's outside of your control.
What issues have concerned you most?
Personally, honestly, you know, there's only so much we wash our hands and we do the things we're supposed to. But, you know, ultimately, people can get it even when they're doing everything that they're supposed to be doing, and we know that. So I guess I don't want to say that it was something that we were frantic about in our household. We were just diligent and did what we could. Of course, the worldwide impact is you know, there's the concern of balancing the economic fall that a lot of families are facing versus, you know, making sure that we try to keep the spread from becoming too much to handle. And I think that's always been a difficult, it's a no-win situation because there's devastating impacts on both sides. So always try to think about what you know, what could be done. And sometimes, like I said, there's some things you can't control.
Okay, yeah. Has COVID-19 affected your job?
No, other than when the library closed and I came in and worked when I needed to keep things going from the financial standpoint. Fortunately for our family, our concern for our jobs was not a concern we had. My husband's a police officer, and of course with the nature of my job, we were very fortunate to not have that economic impact on our family.
Right. How about as a board member, has the pandemic affected the board, the school board at all?
Or? It's changed how we've had to have some conversations, and we had one of our first board meetings, we had the president at the schools to conduct it, and then the rest of us came in as Zoom members. So just adjusting, like a lot of community agencies and boards are having to do, it's been universal. But overall, we've just adapted and continue to do what we've been doing.
Here's the question I'd love to ask everybody. What did you do during the lockdown for entertainment? I like to ask everybody because everybody's got different answers.
So I'll be honest, I didn't mind it because I enjoy being at home and, you know, being with my family and my kids, and it wasn't the worst thing in the world for me.
And I felt the exact same way.
Just coming in and getting my, you know, doing my work and making sure my work was caught up and coming in and doing it when it needed to be done and leaving when it was done and then going back home. But while I was there, it was probably a little more TV watching, catching up on some things and reading. Being outside, fortunately, it was a time where it was cold at first, but, you know, we got to go outside a little bit more and work on the yard and do some things. So I was one of those people that was not stir crazy.
How about your teenagers? What did they do during the
So my oldest just graduated from college, and so for
oh,
him.
I thought that you had all teenagers. I'm sorry. I didn't
no.
realize you had a
family. Yeah, I have some adults. So he graduated college. Fortunately for him, he lived in an apartment off campus, so he was able to stay in his apartment and finish up the rest of the school year. Then my other son is 18, and he had to come home. They closed the dorms, so he had to come home in March. And it was a challenge for him. He did not like the online learning. He preferred to be at school. And he is a social creature, so it was hard for him. And then my two youngest are 15, and I think you have kind of a circle of friends that is the ones that you always hang out with, and so we allowed them to do that just, you know, under some different circumstances, but it's almost like family or siblings at that point. So it was challenging, and we did have some restrictions and things for them to not go and do the things they normally did. But with their phones, you're just message away.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of time on their phones.
How about your college student? Have they gone back to school yet?
No, so my oldest graduated, and unfortunately this is a really cruddy time to be looking for employment. He's a software engineering major, which is a very strong degree, but a lot of companies are just trying to scale down now, and so the demands aren't quite as high. So he's hoping to find something that'll be a good fit for him. My other son is a sophomore at Trine, and he did go back, and they are doing in-class learning with masks and everything else, and it's not a huge campus. It's 2,500 kids, but he has a fraternity there he's involved with, so that helps a lot from that standpoint. But he's like, if they go back online, he's a chemical engineering major, and that's a hard one to do online. So,
yeah. So is he in the dorms?
He's in the dorms, but he spends a lot of times with the fraternity.
So what do they do in the dorms? Do they have to wear masks? How do they do that?
So if you're in their rules at Trine are, if you're in your dorm, you do not have to wear a mask. If you leave your dorm, even to go to a neighbor, you need to have masks on.
You mean your dorm room?
Your dorm room, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So if you go down the hall, you need to have a mask on, yeah.
And do they actually police that?
You know, I think this is kind of, I don't want to say they police it, but I'm sure if they notice it, yes, they're going to say something. I do know there was some messages sent out that, you know, some things that they had seen on campus that they were concerned about, and they sent a message out to students and parents, again, reminding kids how important this is. You know, I think it's, obviously, you know, these kids are entering a part of their life. Yes, they're becoming adults, but we have to remember that these are still kids to a degree at some point, and so we have high expectations that they're going to do some of these things, but we also know that, you know.
Right. Did they have to take any tests, or did they have to do any COVID testing before they went back to college?
No, they did not have to do any testing. They just had to affirm that they had no symptoms, that they'd not been in contact with anybody who had symptoms and that thing. And Trine has done, they've not had any major issues or major cases. They did change their scheduling, so instead of having a fall break and being out at Christmas, they're having no breaks. So they started school, and there's no fall break. They will go straight up to Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So they'll end it early, but just go straight to prevent kids from being able to go places and come back.
And then they have a longer Christmas break?
So, yeah, at this point, they'll have a longer Christmas break and then start back up tentatively in January.
Let's talk about the community. How do you think that the outbreak has affected our community, Plainfield? I mean, do you think anything has changed a great deal?
I think I've seen several things. First of all, I think it reminds us, and I know it sounds syrupy, but I do think Plainfield is a community that wants to help its residents. And we saw that through several outreaches from the town, helping deliver items to people who were at high risk or had trouble getting out to get the things they needed, whether it was food or medicine. We've seen a lot of more awareness of people as they go through their struggles with jobs or whatever else it is, to make sure that we are providing as much food and support as we can, resources. The schools were providing lunches during the time, even though school wasn't in session, because they knew that a lot of families would have trouble since the kids were not able to eat at school. So I think it just kind of stepped up the awareness of the needs of our community and pushed a lot of things that were already happening, but pushed them to the forefront in terms of their importance. And I think we will see a lot of those kind of services probably continue in some form even afterwards.
You're pretty active in your church, aren't you? How about your church community?
The church community is, I think it's the same thing. It was hard, again, balance the thing of the importance of being able to gather and worship, and then versus the safety of gathering and worshiping. So I think a lot of churches in Plainfield, just noticing how they were handling things, were on the more cautious side of things, having obviously Facebook sermons and services, as well as doing parking lot services or providing options for people. You know, if you feel safe and we social distance, you can come in, but we will also still have a version where you can watch online or you can come to the parking lot. So, I think, again, churches have found a way to adapt and still support their members.
There's lots of opinions about, you know, what's going on. Have you changed? Have you had an opinion and changed it over this course? And have you seen anybody else have opinions and change it over the course of this
time? Yeah, there's always, you know, I think in any situation there's extremes, and some people who believe it's not a thing, and some people who believe it's, not that it's not serious, I'm not trying to say that it's not, but that you know, maybe kind of overreact the other direction. Mm-hmm. And I think that when you have people in those camps, it's going to be pretty hard to convince them otherwise. So I think it's back to the stand that this is something we have to handle within our own home and within our community. And in terms of a massive switch in opinion, I would say personally, no. I mean, it's something we have to consider in our everyday lives, and it's something that impacts people around us, and it's something that impacts people around us differently. And I think we have to remember that how it affects us in our home may not be how it affects us in somebody else's home. So that affects the people in their own home. So I think sometimes people build their opinions obviously off their experiences. And so I think just trying to be understanding of where everybody's coming from and how it affects them is maybe how some of their decisions lie, and just being aware of that if you have conversations with people. But mm-hmm. I mean, overall, I wouldn't say, you know, my opinion has shifted, but it is interesting how no matter what the situation is, how you see people, some come together and some dig their heels in a little deeper.
Right. It just occurred to me that your husband is you said your husband is a policeman here in Plainfield. Mm-hmm. Has he mentioned anything about issues regarding mask wearing? Does he get calls from people? Anything like that going on?
The department will get calls. Sometimes, and you know, there's only so much. It's not a law that the officers can enforce.
Okay.
I mean, it's a mandate, but it's not something that they can enforce. So obviously having conversations and encouraging it and exemplifying it by being sure that they're wearing masks is what they're doing for the most part. And there's always situations where, you know, again, there's unusual circumstances, but as a whole, it's not been something that has, you know, become a drain on the department from that standpoint where people are complaining. Yeah, people will complain, but
has COVID-19 changed your relationships with family, friends, and community?
Again, being able to spend some time during the lockdown was, at some points we were all going a little nutty, mm-hmm. but it did provide an opportunity for more time. You know, when I wasn't going to meetings, if we were doing, you know, some Zoom meetings with some of the other committees I serve on, you know, being able to be home to do those meetings, actually, I kind of liked. So yeah, it was an unexpected outcome, but being able to spend that time with them was nice. And communications, obviously, we couldn't do face-to-face with a lot of people, but Zoom and phones just allow some of those conversations to continue, not obviously in the same way that they had. But, you know, I think about this happening, you know, before iPhone came around.
That would have been
very, very different.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be interesting to think about how good and bad things might have developed.
People would have been much more isolated.
Yeah.
Do you know anybody that's gotten sick?
My son was with some friends in Bloomington. One of his friend's friends had tested positive, so they went on quarantine just as a precaution. He tested negative. He said he had some times there where he did feel some symptoms, so whether the test was right or wrong. So technically he was negative, but
it's so hard to tell.
Yeah.
I know many people have been tested positive, but simply didn't have any symptoms. And then people that they were in close contact with also tested negative. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. So there's some confusion. Maybe he had it and tested at a point where it hadn't, you know, built up in his system enough because he was tested pretty early. Then, yeah, I know there's a lot of people that do test positive with no symptoms, but then find out later that they had it, were just asymptomatic. So, yeah, it's not that, you know, you have to do the testing, and that's important, but I do think that sometimes, I don't want to say it's inaccurate, but sometimes it's just not, I mean, completely.
Yeah, it's hard mm-hmm. to tell, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What have been your primary sources of news during this?
Honestly, I try to read what I can, and I try to stay away from it because I just want to glean the information I need to. The news to me becomes so drama-driven and ratings-driven that headlines and things just are, it just kind of makes me shake my head, I guess, sometimes. So I try to read more neutral news sites just to try to get the information without slant from either side. So looking
where,
up things.
So where do you find that information? That's
yeah, I well, NPR is
yeah, I like NPR.
Usually pretty good. You know, I do see headlines on some of the other things, and sometimes I look at them just to kind of see what's being said, just so I can kind of get a feel for what's going on. But honestly, you know, watching the evening news at night, I just don't anymore. I just don't want to.
It's hard.
I don't want to watch
depressing.
It. Well, depressing and frustrating and
alarming.
It's just so much. So many of our struggles, I think, stems from somehow the information is sometimes being relayed and.
Okay, how do you think the municipal leaders and government officials in Plainfield have responded to the outbreak? You think we've been doing a good job?
I do think so. Seeing the needs and the town providing services for the residents that came up due to the pandemic, local businesses trying to help that were struggling, being helped by the town and by, you know, we have Level 2 here that is a resource for entrepreneurs and new businesses coming in and just helping guide them in terms of here's what's available to you, providing some grant money through the town to help the businesses during this. You can prepare for some things, but goodness, this is something you can't prepare for. So just helping businesses to know that the community supports them, helping the residents to know that the community supports them, and then the schools, helping the students know that, you know, whether it's food or education, I mean, there's so many things that schools provide resources for as well, besides just classroom learning. Things were being done, but again, it just sped up some of the processes to be able to adapt to the fact that we had to do things differently.
How about the school? Since you're on the board, you're in a position to really tell us how the school responded.
Oh, you know, the school has been challenged with so many things over the last few years, things that we didn't expect or prepare for or could be prepared for. Years ago, we had the incident with Brian Kill, and we've had just things that you've never been through before. You can't say, oh, this is how we did this last time, because this is the first time we've done so many different things. This is no different, and our school administrators are, I can't say enough about them. They are ahead of the curve in their planning and their preparation, and when we knew that schools could potentially shut down earlier this spring, the administrators were letting teachers know, you know what, every day could be the last day we're in class, so just be ready to go virtual the next day. Just start having your lessons ready so that that transition can happen. Make sure that the students have everything they need to be able to learn from home. And that began, like I said, early in the year. Just being prepared for things in a way that makes the transitions easier, but then learning from them, and even that transition that we did back in March when the schools were closed versus how we're handling it now, we learned a lot from that. So yeah. There's, as much as we were as prepared as we could have been at that point, even more prepared, you do learn from it and perfect it and tweak it and make it better, and that's what our administrators always do.
There was, before the school started, you know, that there was a lot of disagreement from the teachers about whether to open a school. In fact, there were, you know, some protests. Mm-hmm. Did the board discuss that?
Again, we are fortunate, and I know I keep saying this, but we have a stellar group of teachers who are professional and know how to address concerns and discuss things in a way that is productive. And fortunately, as a whole, our teachers understand they have the same fears that any other human being would have in these circumstances, but they have all been above and beyond and preparing and being ready for what it would take and working with their students. I was able to spend the first day of school at Central Elementary, specifically with some kindergartners, and watching the teachers work and adapt, and again, constantly, okay, first day of school, they're still learning how some things are going to work and figuring out how to make it better. Our students really, you walk into a school and I don't think you would instantly feel like there's something wrong. It's just how it works now, and, mm-hmm. and fortunately at the schools we've had a total of 12 cases so far with over 6,300 students and staff members, and nobody has been diagnosed with COVID from that core group. So
right.
Everything has been, for the most part, from something that's probably happened outside the school. So again, that just shows that the teachers are, and students are doing everything that they need to make it a safe environment.
They really are. I just got the email that mm-hmm. everyone's out of quarantine. There's
yep.
no cases right yep. now outstanding. So that's amazing.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yep, it is.
So that I guess that was my next question. Have you heard anything about how the students are doing? They're doing well with the masking and
they
all
are
that.
Doing well, you know, they understand, and you know, there's always going to be situations that for whatever reason may pop up, but the vast majority, again, understands, complies, and does what they need to, because for a lot of these students, you know, they didn't enjoy the home learning version.
Yeah, my daughter didn't.
And
yeah.
So for them to be able to stay in school,
okay,
it's
yeah.
important. That's what they do.
Like we were talking about the e-learning back in the spring, it didn't really go that well. I know that my daughter said that she didn't really feel like she learned much. Have you guys heard about any sort of backlash from that, you know, those last couple months of, I mean, was there any issues with grades or, you know,
as,
things like that?
As a whole, it was a hard transition, again, trying to figure out exactly do we allow the students, and you have to think about, too, how that looks for an elementary student is different than how it looks for a high school student. And so learning and understanding, the idea was that the curriculum was out there for students to do, ask if they have questions, learned from that standpoint that it's probably a little better to have teachers in front of students regularly to keep them more engaged. I will say, having seen some other school systems, that we were probably some of the more prepared of the school systems, and having the resources available to students needed to be able to go home on their laptops or their devices, being able to have those opportunities. But I think you're going to find across the board, nobody's going to argue the fact that there was learning loss during that time period for every student in every school system. And that is a challenge that we want to make sure that we can make up for some of that lost time, which is even more of a reason to be sure we've got kids in the classroom and try to make sure that it's continual and as consistent as it can be to make up for some of that lost time. And then being able to, if we need to go to that e-learning, do it in a way that's more productive than maybe in the spring.
Is there a specific plan to make up for that, or is it just, we're just kind of hoping we're going to...
Yeah, it's the teachers know, and the teachers, you know, sometimes you know it's going to be a problem, but you don't know how much of a problem until you get those kids back in the classroom. And again, some students will have more loss than others, depending on how they were able to connect during the spring.
Well, yeah, especially with, you know, poor, you know, areas, you know, like inner city, they don't have laptops to
and
take home.
So
and I don't even know.
Again, we're so fortunate to have, as a community, Plainfield is fortunate to have families that are able, and not that it was easy, and I'm not going to suggest it was, and, you know, my kids were all older, but, you know, for parents to have to spend time with different levels of elementary school and that kind of thing is very, very challenging. So having resources, having families that are there that are able to support their students and their kids does make a difference.
One more question. Mm-hmm. Knowing what you know now, what do you think that individuals, communities, and governments need to keep in mind for the future?
You know, I think planning is always the word, and being prepared, and that's something that I think we've always done as a community and with the organizations I'm involved in. But I think we also have to remember that you can plan for everything, but you have to be adaptable. So if you have a plan, being able to prepare for a pandemic, you know, we thought we were very well prepared, and we were. We definitely were. But I think we have to remember that being flexible, continuing to learn what works and what doesn't, and being able to adjust to that and to accommodate that, and being able to be willing to see how things impact from ways that maybe we hadn't thought of originally. The more you can do that, the more quickly you can react and the more effectively you can react. And I think as long as everybody's willing to do that and be supportive of each other, you can't prevent things like this. All you can do is work through them. And I think as a community, and the organizations within the community have done that in ways that we never thought we would have to, you know, from a library standpoint and serving our patrons, from a school standpoint and serving our students, and from a town standpoint and serving our community. Everybody has thought of things in ways that they've not had to before. And as long as we continue to do that, we'll be able to adjust.
Thank you, Jessica, for participating. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.